On behalf of the Brookings Animal Clinic, our Speak Up presentation. Good morning, Dr. Woody.
Hey, Bob.
So, well, gosh, where even to begin? What's new?
Oh, everything, nothing at all.
I know.
Rain.
A lot.
Going to start having mosquitoes pretty quick.
I have heard it's a plague of ticks. But you know what? I can honestly say at this point, I have only pulled off one, and that was off my daughter. So
we had them after the snow went off. We generally get them about the middle of March. We had a rash of them there for about 3 weeks. And then we had that really hot weather, that 100-degree weather. And that really inhibits them. So we haven't seen too many on dogs lately. But if we start getting cooler weather like this, we may get them back.
Mosquitoes, I'm sure, with all the rain that we've had. Now, you were up in the valley this last weekend. So, Swan, if you up there, not so bad.
Not so bad. It's amazing. Some of those cities really take mosquito control in hand.
Well, the Red River Valley especially. I know Fargo, they have like 5 nights of the week. They're aerial spraying all the different outlying communities.
My understanding is that there are people that come from all over the country to study their program.
Is that right?
Because they also have a larvicide thing where they will spray water bodies.
Keep the little wrigglers from hatching?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, and it's apparently very effective.
Well, we have West Nile concerns, encephalitis,
these other terrible
mosquito-borne illnesses.
I see there's a new one. I didn't get to read all the details, but there's a new mosquito-borne they're beginning to be concerned about. A lot of them may be already exposed to it and don't know it.
So Bill Gates has invested billions of dollars in research to turn sterile male mosquitoes loose, and then the females lay dud eggs.
Yeah.
And this is basically in his attempt to limit malaria.
Uh-huh. That's the way they got rid of the screwworm infestation in this country.
Screwworms,
It used to be from Mexico, and it was just a nightmare for livestock.
And were they like maggots then, were they?
Well, yeah, but they just eat them alive. Just monstrous consumption.
Really?
Oh, yeah, terrible. In the 20s and 30s. And they discovered that they're monogamous and they only mate once. So they just caught a bunch of these males and irradiated them, this UV irradiation, and turned them loose. Man, that was the end of that.
Is that a fact?
Yeah, it's great. Works great.
Wow. And, no pesticides and no worries about carryover, things like this.
So no resistance, none of that stuff.
Boy, it's getting to be all the rage, isn't it?
Yep.
Well, we want to thank our listeners for the questions we've received. Let's get right to it, Dr. Woody. My granddaughter wants a rabbit as a pet. And I'm wondering, can rabbits be housebroken or do they need to be outside in a little hutch?
Most of them are inside. They're litter trainable. Yeah, they're litter trainable. They make pretty nice pets, really.
Yeah.
It's a good thing for a little kid that, you learn how to kind of take care of them, how to feed them, what kind of balanced diet they need, get them trained to that litter box, and aside from the hair floating around, it's just fine.
So I mowed this weekend on Saturday, and it got to the point where I was tired of shooing toads out of the way,
so
I just got a bucket and put on the mower. And when I got done, I had a bucket of toads.
No kidding.
But I had a granddaughter who's 3, and she was in her glory.
I bet.
After she got over the initial shock and fear.
What did Mom think?
Actually, Beth was pretty cool with toads. It's snakes that she has no problem with.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Baby sat in the grass, and I dumped a bucket of toads on the ground, and it was kind of fun to watch.
I bet so.
Yeah.
I bet
that'd be
fun.
Yeah, it is. You want to teach them early on not to be afraid of those
things.
You know, we live out on an acreage, Dr. Woody, and here's another couple that does. They have 2 outside dogs. They're wondering what they can do to help keep them cool. They don't want to let them in the house on those really hot days. You think that they would benefit from a cold bath?
My favorite thing for that is just a kid's wading pool. Filled up with water such that the dog can lie down and not breathe it in. And they just have a great time.
Isn't it funny, though? You want to give your dog a bath with a garden hose and a bucket. When mine see me with a bucket of any kind, they run. But then if you had a wading pool full of water, they take it upon themselves. So go figure. I can't. Only it was kind of sad, too, for my parents. They have been miniature dachshund owners for probably 25 years, and they've had several that, and they had to have the last one, my mom's, put down this weekend. They had this one for, Honey was her name, for probably 16 years.
Wow.
And it's heartbreaking for them. They're old, set in their ways, and their daily routine involved this dog, and so she's really broken up about
that. It's difficult.
Yeah. It is.
The hardest ones are the ones, for me, are the ones that the couple had, and one of the couple is deceased. And it's all tied up together,
with
the dog. Gosh, that's hard.
I bet it is.
It's difficult.
How do you maintain your composure?
Well, sometimes you don't, but you just, you know, I look at it as sometimes it's all you can do for them.
Right. And, and it is a kindness when you think of it that way.
Yeah.
And as a pet owner, that's your final obligation to repay this pet's love for you, is to make sure. And, and that's a kind thing. Can my pets get West Nile from mosquitoes like humans can, Dr. Woody? And if they can, what would be some of the symptoms that I should be on the lookout for?
The short answer to that is yes, but it's dogs and cats are what are called inappropriate hosts. The virus doesn't like them particularly.
They can carry it, but they're not really affected?
Well, they don't. The mosquito may or may not prefer to chew on the dog or the cat to start with, but it's such an unusual thing that the virus has not a predilection like it does for horses, say. And of course, with these West Nile things, the main thing is an encephalitis. So you would see a neurologic deficit in an animal of some sort. And I do see that once in a while, and I'm unclear, and mostly people don't want to investigate causes. I'm unclear as to the particular agent involved, but every once in a while I suspect an encephalitis or, a meningitis related to an infectious agent.
In an animal, are we talking?
Or cat.
Will they recover then on their own?
Well, a lot of times they do. Unfortunately, with viruses, there's not a whole lot to do but supportive therapy, treatment, and neurologic injuries and infections are kind of strange cats in that you don't ever know what you're going to get until you stand back about a year or so and wait and see what you can't do. That's kind of the way that works. And you can't do anything to hurry it along and speed up the process particularly. So it's one of those deals where you support it the best you can. You try to eliminate some of these more gross neurological lacks like inability to walk and so on, and if you can do that, fine, but in the end, you just take your own time healing up.
I was reading this last weekend, Dr. Woody, about the advancements that have been made in genetic engineering, specifically how it relates to disease prevention and control. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, there are conspiracy theorists who believe it's going to lead into eugenics and whatever, but to me, it's truly kind of a fascinating study now.
Tremendous.
How they use bacteria to cut a chunk out of the chromosome chain and then insert what they want into it.
Yeah.
And in doing so, they're able to guarantee, say if you have some genetic abnormality and you want to have children that aren't affected by it, there's a very strong probability that they can prevent that.
That's right.
And I think that in the next 50 years or so, we are going to see some truly remarkable advancements made.
Well, it's just, was it last week they had an article about a woman who had used that sort of therapy along with stem cells to cure her own mammary cancer. And they had used her own cells, bone marrow cells, that sort of thing. And that's all part of that engineering redirection focus on these cells. And I think it's a threshold of a big deal.
We live in a scientific world that has believed that if you are afflicted with a disease, we'll say, whatever the cause, the organic cause may be, that you have to take some prescribed medication or treatment of some kind, where now they're looking at giving your body something so that it has the ability to heal itself, and that's really probably the best thing they can do.
Pretty handy.
And, Barbara Streisand had one of her dogs cloned for $50,000. Yeah. So, the technology, it's getting to be just amazing to me. Science fiction stuff.
Yeah, it is.
A listener just called in, Dr. Woody, and our thanks to them and also to Aaron for delivering these. And they say, a minpin has no appetite suddenly. Why? Lays and sleeps a lot.
Have to take a look. Most likely thing is there's some sort of a fever.
Really?
Yeah.
And, of course, you can't really venture a guess until you have a little more information.
You'd have to look, do some checking.
So bring it in.
Yeah, a lot of times when particularly with cats. Cats can have as little as a half a degree or 1 degree elevation of temperature, and their appetite just shuts off. Or they won't be able to smell. And it, and if you know, they always say if you can't smell, you can't taste anything.
Okay, sure.
But if a cat can't smell, he just won't eat in the first place.
He won't.
So it's a moot point whether he can taste it or not because he won't eat it.
Really?
But there are the vague symptoms like that, you know, the lethargy and the lying around and this and that. All kinds of different causes. You just have to take a look.
So I would bring my pet in for you to examine, and I'm guessing probably a little what blood work, maybe some urinalysis work,
sure.
And then a quick physical go over, and that helps you narrow it down.
Yeah, it gives you some ideas of what parameters might be off and where the problem might lie. And you can always pursue it, you know, beyond that if you want, in terms of cause and exactly what's going on.
Well, you can ask a dog where he hurts all you want to. Probably not going to answer you. Dr. Woody, my cat has started not to come to me when I call her at mealtime. And I've read online, cats sometimes lose their hearing because of infections or old age. Now, I'd like to know the difference if she's getting sick or she's just getting old.
Those things are really difficult for me to tell, but you should take a look at them and see, is there any obvious ear disease or inner ear disease or balance problems or anything that might impair that normal hearing reflex. I think a lot of times old cats, I saw one yesterday, it was 18 years old.
My word.
Didn't pay attention to anybody. He didn't care. He was diabetic, but he didn't care. Couldn't hear. But I think he couldn't hear because he was just 18 years old.
Sure.
And, you know, once in a while you can find some gum and gunk down there in that ear or the mastoid process and it is all, you know, enlarged and you think, oh, this is a chronic inner ear, middle ear thing.
Right.
But generally those cats have other signs, you know, that you can pick up. The balance isn't quite right or they stagger, or they, you know. But it's a fine line between an ear problem that causes deafness and wear and tear from old age.
What about dogs? Same situation?
Same kind of thing.
Okay.
I think dogs are more selective than cats. Cats tend to be, you know, get away from me. I don't talk to you anyway.
Well, I want to try and get some money from the government for a federal grant, and I'm hoping that you would help me maybe be an underwriter, Dr. Woody. And this would be my question that I want research. Why do dogs have those funny little bumps on their cheeks with two whiskers? What good do they serve?
They're sensory. They're like whiskers on a cat.
Are they really?
Yeah. When I was a kid, my grandma said, don't you ever dare cut those cat's whiskers. And I said, why? And she said, it'll ruin its eyes.
But you did anyway.
I did, and it did. The eyes got all red. You know, I couldn't feel, when it would walk through the weeds, it couldn't feel, and it'd get poked, and I felt
horrible.
Are
you serious? Yeah, it really?
Red and crusty, and oh, gee, terrible.
Wow.
Terrible thing to do. But those whiskers in a cat are the most sensitive. You know, they talk about these seismic detectors. That hair follicle bulb sits in a little pool that's surrounded by blood. And any shift in that fluid puts pressure on a lot of these nerve endings that surround the capsule.
Like an enhanced inner ear.
Yeah. And so that's why, you know, that's why they pick out where they want to go. And if one loses whiskers, he's got a problem.
So dogs have got whiskers on their lips, but then they've got those funny little things right back
they're
here.
They're just vestigial. They're like the callus on the inside of a horse's leg, you know. It just used to be a lot different.
I'll be darned. Yeah. Okay, well, darn it. No government money for me. Pay up. Yeah, pay up. Okay. A check's in the mail, Dr. Woody. My 3-year-old black lab is well potty trained at home, but in the summer we hit the road and go camping a lot and struggles with potty training in the camper. What can I do to help my dog?
Well, if it's only a 3-year-old dog, there are probably some smells in that camper that are keying it a little bit. First thing I do is start with a real thorough cleaning of the camper, whatever it might be. And if it's a carpeted floor, try to either replace that or get it as clean as you can get it. And then the other thing is just, you know, treat it like it's a new pup when you go to a campsite. Just take it to a certain spot and wait till it goes and then give it a treat, you know, so that it knows if I go out here and I go, then I get a treat. And just kind of reinforce all that. But it's curious that if it won't go in the house and it'll go in the camper or something, the camper's probably, it can smell.
Would the change of surroundings have anything to do with that?
It's possible. You know, if you camped in a campground that was next to, say, a hog plant, or some such thing as that, where there was a kind of a pervasive weird smell. That's possible.
Makes you wonder how loud the guy would be screaming when he gets up in the middle of the night and steps on that little surprise in the middle of a camper with his bare feet. It's happened to us all at one time or another.
Yeah.
Dr. Woody, I've heard that you should cut your dog's long hair in the summertime to keep them cool, but I have also heard that you want to keep it long. In your opinion, what's a better thing to do?
I think it's always better to cut them. And if you don't like the looks of it, just cut the belly. And that way they can lay down on the cool floor and dissipate some of that heat. But you know that little episode we had here was 101 degrees a couple weeks ago?
Yeah.
We had about 8 dogs in that Sunday, and they were a lot of them heat stressed.
Did you really? That many?
Yeah. And one was a dog that had had some kind of chronic respiratory problems before, so it wasn't a surprise. But one was an old fat dog, and he was just really puffing hard. And I said, well, have you been exercising? No. Played a little ball, but boy, he got tired of that quick. And so heat affects them more than you think. Doesn't take much to really bother a dog.
Does the size of a dog have any effect as to their tolerance of heat?
As a general rule, no. It has to do with how well they can transmit the heat by panting and by, you know, radiant cooling, like if they allow on a concrete floor. And, of course, the fatter you are, the less efficient you are at it, matter what the size of the dog.
So this weekend, one of the granddaughters wanted to ride in the wagon, and of course I had the harness hitched up for the dog. So I hooked up the big white dog, thinking, oh, she's a bigger kid, need more horsepower, right? He'd have no part of that. So then I got the brown one, and he was just ready to go.
Going
and
strong.
He didn't seem to bother him. So
it's amazing how strong they are.
This one just loves to pull, and that's why my right arm is a little longer than my left, because when we go for walks, and no matter what I do, no matter what kind of harness or hitch I use, it won't stop him.
Yeah.
So I just figure, well, he was a sled dog in another life, I guess.
Could have been.
Dr. Woody, we've got a beagle, and we also have a golden retriever. Now, if we go boating, what would be the best way for me to determine which one needs a life jacket and which one doesn't?
I just have a trial. Get a horse tank or some kind of a controlled environment and chuck one in and see if he sinks. My bet is that the beagle will probably sink because they're a lot more dense. Whereas
the bird dog, you know,
probably go along. But a lot of beagles swim just fine too. And if he's not a heavy, you know, a fat beagle or a big beagle, he might do just as well as the other dog. And then see if one gets in trouble and he does, give him a collar or a vest.
So I talked to one of the organizers of the draft horse show that was in town this weekend, and I would like to have seen that. I would like to have gotten my dad because, you know, he lived in an era when they farmed with horses.
Sure.
Do you think, is it true, this gentleman said the same thing, and I kind of subscribe to this notion. He said that these big old gigantic 2,000-pound draft horses, he said, they're docile and pretty even-tempered, and dogs are kind of that. We get a great big old St. Bernard or a huge big dog, and they're kind of mellow and they move kind of slow too. Do you think that's true or not?
I think in general you have less spooky dogs that are big.
And they're not like usually mean or, just...
The ones that you get that are hunting dogs are just generally all charged up and raring to go all the time, and they don't pay any attention to a leash or a lead or a choke collar or even a pinch collar a lot of times. And they're just sort of ill-mannered. You know, you can't do much with
their enthusiasm.
Yeah. It's not that they're mean or nasty.
Right. Sure.
But these big old slow dogs, bloodhounds are classics, you know, basset hounds, that sort of thing, St. Bernards. They don't tend to be terrifically excitable. Their rousability is sort of low. And as a general rule, I think that's probably true.
Boy, it's been a long time since I've seen a St. Bernard. You know, there was it is funny how breeds kind of go in cycles, isn't it? And then there was a time when you'd see quite a few St. Bernards.
Yeah, there are a lot of breeds that are that way. I think last year the AKC only registered a little over 200 corgis.
Is that all? Really?
Yeah, and just
so
five,
that's kind of the bottom end.
Yeah, 5 years ago, everybody had one. Long-nosed collies you never see. Hardly ever see an Irish Setter anymore. There's just a whole bunch of dogs that just kind of fading away. Chows are...
Hollywood has so much to do with that, you know?
It does. The earliest I remember that was the Nixon. Remember the Checkers speech that Nixon gave?
I remember
the plaid coat and all that.
I remember LBJ holding up his dog by the ears.
Sure. Yeah. Well, there was a rash of people wanting Cocker Spaniels.
Yeah.
So you had all these neurotic Cocker Spaniels because everybody wanted one.
What about Greyhounds? What's your feeling for them as far as family house pets go?
I think they're great dogs.
They're smart.
Oh, they're tremendous. And all of them I've ever been around have been just as calm.
Really?
Oh, yeah. When I got out of veterinary school, there was an organization that started an adopt-a-greyhound thing.
And After their racing career?
Take them off the track. You know, there's two ways you leave the track if you're a greyhound. You either die in the saddle or you get injured and you can't run anymore. Now, the trouble with them is they don't decide whether they can run until they're 9 months old. So you miss out on all that socialization and play and puppy and all that kind of stuff. So you got to keep that in mind. But, man, I think they make great pets.
Really?
Except for the exercise requirement. You know, they just got to go. And if you aren't prepared to give them some good exercise every day, they kind of...
I'll tell you what, though, it is amazing to watch them go like a rocket.
Oh, gosh, it's tremendous.
You know, I read that in Florida, especially, where they have Greyhound racetracks, big sport down there, they have the little funny bunnies that they run on that track.
Yep.
They use anise as the scent.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that. I thought, they must have, like, bunny pelt or something. No. But no, they're trained to.
Yeah. There was a big deal on the media here about 6 months ago. Some track in Georgia or Alabama or Florida that was closing, and they were trying to find foster homes for 400 greyhounds.
Wow.
What a task.
So my daughter, Rebecca, is this militant animal rights person now, okay? And she subscribes to Save the Elephants and Save the Chimpanzees and Save the Honeybees, and she drives me crazy sometimes because she's always trying to get me to adopt a llama or a donkey. She was up in arms this weekend because evidently people were posting on Facebook a picture of a gentleman who was power washing his dog with a power washer. And she was just irate. And I said, well, you know, it depends on. Was the dog long-furred? Was it a high-power one? Use a garden hose with a sprayer sometimes. Yeah. That has a lot of pressure. Yeah. So you give the guy the benefit of the doubt.
Sure.
But no, she was just convinced that that was animal cruelty. And by golly, I'm going to contact the Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals. And it's like, Rebecca.
There's an awful lot of gray areas there.
I know, exactly.
You've seen those pressure washers you rig up on a farm where you can cut a hole in an oak board.
Oh, yeah.
That probably wouldn't be ideal for a dog.
The one I have, no, it's a cheapo, you know, you...
20 pounds.
If even that, it'll barely wash the bugs off the side of my car. Yeah. So, but I would never do that anyway.
Well, some people are just, you know, in a hurry and they want to get it done. Zip here.
And who knows? Maybe the dog had been sprayed by a skunk or had rolled in some rotten fish.
Or maybe it was his favorite thing. You never know.
I know. That's just it. Yeah. So you got to be careful. Pick your battles, right?
That's right.
Dr. Woody. We have a 7-year-old cat, and I've been doing research, reading articles. They say cats can get Alzheimer's. Now, is this true?
Well, they have told us within the last 5 to 8 years that both dogs and cats suffer from a dementia. And if you want to split hairs, there are differences in dementia looking at the brain. But I will say that we do have animals that do get that. And people will come in and they'll tell me, I left my dog this morning and he was standing there with his head pushed in the corner. And when I got home, he was still standing there with his head pushed in the corner and he'd urinated. So I know he couldn't figure out how to get out of the corner to go up, you know. So, yeah, there's a dementia that gets involved and you get varying degrees of behavioral anomalies. You know, the cat never did this before. The dog never did this before. And you get varying degrees of neurologic impairment at the end.
How can you tell if it's a stroke or not?
Well, generally this dementia is gradual. A stroke tends to be pretty abrupt.
Okay.
And, like last week, there was a thing that came out in Science that said that some guys that were fooling around with Alzheimer's brains noticed some herpes.
Yeah, I did too.
And I was talking to the guy, he's a psychiatrist, and I said, what's the deal about this? And he said, well, they've known that there's herpes around for a long time, but they haven't been able to make a causal link. In other words, they can't say, that's what causes it. They know that herpes persists in the body for a long time, and it can come out under stress or, you know, ill health or whatever. But whether that's involved with animal dementia, I don't know. I'm not smart enough.
But I wonder what kind of herpes, because there's herpes simplex, herpes complex, there's genital herpes, there's all these different kinds.
Yeah, but it's the characteristic of the virus, no matter the variant.
I got you.
Just the herpes virus.
You know? Cold sores.
Yeah, cold sores, genital,
sure.
Shingles. You ever had shingles?
Oh, no, I don't want them.
Well, you wonder. You know, my dad had them, and he ended up with dementia.
Is that a fact?
Was that a correlation? Right. I don't know. He had them 5 years before he got the dementia. Who knows?
I know that they have a new and improved vaccine for that now.
Yeah.
That's a two-parter, and you can't get it to save your life because the demand is so high they can't keep up with
it. But that's the shingles one.
Yeah.
That's not the cold sore one or the gentle one or any other ones. You know, so you're probably about as much at risk even if you're protected from one variant.
The thing is, though, a lot of times with dogs especially, so as they age, they're not as active as they once were, and maybe they don't like to play fetch or they don't chase the mailman anymore. And so if they have some form of dementia, it may come on so slowly that you'd say, oh, it's just old age, you know?
Or they get arthritic and they can't move, you know? And as people say, well, he doesn't play like he used to, he didn't catch the ball.
I hate to say this, Dr. Woody, but the fact of the matter is the older and lazier that I get, the more happy that I am. My dogs are now fat and lazy and don't require as much activity and exercise. Yeah. They're just happy to lay in bed with me, you know?
So a lifestyle match there.
It's perfect, yeah. We have a lake cabin, Dr. Woody, we go to very often in the summertime. And I was wondering, you know, we get late in the year, we get algae and stuff. Is it safe for the pets to be in the water?
Not with the blue-green algae.
It isn't.
If you don't mind that old green cruddy stuff, you know, I think it's Lake Madison, they're dealing with that. And the dog getting green and stinky when he comes out, that's okay. But you get in that blue-green, it can be fatal.
What's the stuff that grows in the dog dish outside?
It's just a mold. Not a big deal, but that blue-green, you know, every year we'll have livestock that die because of drinking that, and we'll have dogs that get into it can have problems.
I didn't know it was that bad.
Oh, it's terrible. Sheep are bad, cows are too, when it gets real dry. You know, they have these stock dams and little waterways they've created, and you get the end of an August where it's been 100 degrees for 10 or 12 days, man, that stuff gets raunchy.
The dog days.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to be into that here. Well, of course, we've had so much rain.
That's right.
And I have a sneaking suspicion we are just going to get bombarded with mosquitoes. The horse flies have been eating me, and I am tasty. I know that. Yeah. But out in the garage working with my shorts and no socks on, and they were just going after my ankles.
Bite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I protect yourself.
Yep.
What's the very best flea and tick prevention that I can use for my cat, Dr. Woody?
Got to be careful with cats. We have a product called Catago, which is new, and we're kind of tending toward new products because there's some resistance to the old ones. There are others out there for cats. People who want a longer-term one, there's a collar called a Seresto collar, which claims an 8-month protection.
For cats?
Cats and dogs.
Really?
And fleas and ticks.
See, I've never been a real big fan of those Sargent's tick and flea collars. You know, they maybe give you protection for about 4 inches, and then behind that, there's a like an invisible line, and they're all lined up.
That's been the rap on collars forever and ever, and that's why everybody was skeptical when it came out about 3 years ago. But I've had several people that have, this is their third year on that thing, and they are just absolutely sold on it.
With all the rain we've had and the worry of mosquitoes, what do you think? Heartworms maybe going to be a little more predominant here than we've seen? You know, we're pretty fortunate where we are.
Yes, we are, Bob. The more water you get, the more mosquitoes, the more possibility you end up with heartworms. And it's a good thing to take that precaution. It's getting to be a little late in the year, but better late than never. You want to start a dog on heartworm prevention, get a test first to make sure he's not positive. And then it's a once-a-month tablet. You can miss it by as much as 2 weeks. There are variants of the material that will also control intestinal worms. So if you've got a dog that's out swimming around and eating raccoon poop all summer and all that other stuff they do, might be a good investment.
Absolutely.
Particularly if you have little kids.
Yeah, you bet. You know, with the hot season that's coming, and we know it is, and you had first-hand experience with all the heat, the heat stroke in dogs, good idea to what?
Oh, keep that water bowl full, give them some shade. Gets too hot, bring them inside.
Sleeping downstairs on that cool basement floor, boy, that's living, isn't
it? That's it.
folks want to maybe schedule an appointment to have their dogs, I need to talk to you later, too. I've got to load them up and haul them to town, which you've seen the traveling song and dance show that I have with my dogs. But I need to do that. I've been putting it off and putting it off. And now as I see more and more skunks and raccoons out and about, rabies becomes a fear.
Yeah,
it's a good idea to bring your animals in at least once a year.
I like to send them once a year if I can.
And maybe, just maybe this week we'll do that if that's okay.
Sure.
Dr. Fine. Woody, it's a pleasure as always. Take care. We'll see you hopefully a couple days maybe,
right.
Okay?
Bye-bye.
And that's a wrap for me. I want to